Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
Summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No, I don't care.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live, and welcome to the LBL Bar and Grill, you bunch of lowlifers. And if you're new to this program, lowlifer and lowlifers are what the fine listeners of this program call themselves. This is the podcast for March the 29th. So welcome if you are a new lowlifer. Welcome if you are an old lowlifer. This is the LBL Bar and Grill. This is Low Budget Live. Sometimes we do it live. We do it not so live way more times these days. So welcome. Welcome aboard. This has been an insane week. I feel like we say that too much on Low Budget Live, but that is the truth. This week has been crazy. We had a lot going on. For starters, Lake Teresa got some fish stocked in there earlier in the week, which was an awesome experience with the fine folks from Southeastern Pond Management. I want to thank those. Luke, in particular, Luke Moran, came out and got us, got our foundation started. Going to have a video up on that this week, but those folks are fantastic to work with. And they have a cool deal coming up. I want to mention just real quick, a shock boat showdown, basically. They're doing a live event on their Facebook page very soon where they're going to see which team have like four offices. They're going to go shock lakes that they manage and see who gets the biggest and the most. But like, it's pretty crazy. And it's a really cool idea for a video, and it's going to show what these guys are capable of doing. So go check them out. Follow them on social media and all that good jazz. But Southeastern Pond Management kind of definitely pointing us in the right direction. But Lake T, it was a real honestly, it was kind of an emotional day out there getting that getting it going. You know, of course, the lake's in mom's memory and all that. But it's just cool. Cool seeing life in it, fish flicking around out there. We got a fish feeder out there now, and we got coppernose, shell cracker, and some golden shiners. Got some threadfin coming, and of course, the bass very, very soon. But the craziest thing of the week, though, was the fact that I had recorded this already because of Smith Lake, the Bassmaster Open. I was supposed to be fishing this week, but unfortunately, because of flooding, I was down there practicing. We get the email, no bueno, can't have it. It's the highest I've ever seen it. I fished Smith a long time, and I've heard guys like Jordan Lee and Jesse Wiggins say the same. I mean, it's really bad. So it's up in people's houses and sections of the lake, and it's nuts. But the area at Smith Lake Dam where the tournament goes out of inaccessible. You can't get in there. Like, there's 2 and 3 feet of water in the parking lot. Now, by tournament time, if they can get it down, maybe. But, dude, we've had, like, 7 or 8 inches of rain up here in Tennessee. Like, all that stuff is running in from surrounding areas. They got more rain last night. They got more rain today. Just wasn't a feasible situation. So, now we're going to fish a stingy Smith Lake in October, first week of October this year, which, you know, I like fall events. I've been saying I want to fish fall events, so I get to fish two now this fall. We'll see if I can put my money where my mouth is. But that'll be a lot tougher than it probably would have been this week. Lots of stuff floating. I mean, it was dangerous, but the boys and I went down, did some practice and some looking around, and I was liking what I was finding, but we'll just have to wait till October for Smith Lake. So hats off to Bass to making the decision at the right time, because you got 500 people coming in and out from all over the country. If they'd have waited another day or two, the whole place would have been filled up with open anglers, and that wouldn't have been a good situation for anybody. So you're stuck with me doing another show. I actually recorded an interview you're going to get to see here in a little bit with Bill Lowen, Rory Herndon from Express Boats, and Clay Connor from Express Boats. Real cool interview. And we're gonna get to that. We're going to get to that. But there's a lot going on. But before we get to the lots going on, I got to say a huge thank you to StarTron for bringing you Low Budget Live for going on 3 years now. Kicking ethanol in the teeth. And don't just take my word for it, low lifers. Read the shirt. Look at this. Kick ethanol in the teeth of StarTron. Look at this. Shake it. Look. Uh-huh. These just showed up at my house. Will be available soon. How cool is that? Folks at StarTron making an LBL shirt. Shaking the StarTron bottle. Kicking ethanol in the teeth. But want to thank those guys over there for not only the shirts, but always supporting LBL. And kicking ethanol in the teeth, in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, but most importantly, in your bass boat with that outboard engine, because nothing ruins a great day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run. So get you some StarTron. Sims Fishing Products. Find folks at Sims making great rainwear. Get you layered up, get you solar flare. If you've got bipolar weather, like we do in Tennessee right now, where it rains for 4 hours and it's cold, and then the rain stops and the wind quits blowing and the sun comes out and it's 78 degrees, you need some Sims. You can wear the shorts and the solar flex under the ProDry rain suit. You see what I did right there? Got it all in there. But I am wearing a lot of the gear. I love it. Rain suit's awesome. Lord knows I get to wear it plenty lately. And I am here to remind each and every one of you lowlifers, you get one life. Fish it well. Fish it well. Pro Guide batteries. Can't say enough about them, y'all. I'm running the AGMs. We got some new batteries coming soon. A little special announcement coming very soon. But running the 31 AGMs, I'm blown away. A lot of you have been messaging me about this. Awesome batteries, okay? Fished a tournament with Hudson this weekend on Wheeler. After Smith got canceled, we went down there, and dude, I'm telling you right now, I have ran those things in current. Like, I'm just blown away. Really, really impressed by the batteries with my Force trolling motor. Like, it really, they just, I can't kill them. And I've tried. I have freaking tried. As a matter of fact, I told you last weekend when we were down at Smith, I didn't charge the things for a couple days, which I wouldn't suggest doing. But really, really loving the Pro Guide. You can use LBL10. At checkout, Pro Guide batteries to get you some yourself. And last but certainly not least, the banner that won't get hung, because it's a long story. Express Boats, the official boat of LBL and Luke Duncan's Traveling Circus, the Express X21. And finally got the old Express in some rough water, to say the least, on Wheeler Lake, blowing against the current. That perfect storm yesterday, and was blown away. I'll be honest. I know y'all, I sound like a broken record, but I've had it in about every situation I can have it in now, and just my favorite boat, like, period. Rides like a glass boat. I see all the aluminum talk, 10 rig talk. Dude, you take a ride in one, I promise you, you will absolutely be blown away. Thing is awesome, and really been impressed by it. Everything by the boat. Going to do another walkthrough this week, so be on the lookout for that. I want to show you the tackle storage, because it's just it's got a lot of tackle storage. But you'll find out more about Express. I was honored to have Rory Herndon and Clay Connor, as well as Mr. Elite Series Champion $100,000 Bill Lowen on, but we're going to get to that in a little bit. But Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas, building excitement since 1966. All right, here we go. A few things. First and foremost, lots of folks have reached out about this. There's been a lot said about it already. The Auburn Bass team, Auburn University, I know several of them boys, they listen to Low Budget Live, and good kids. And it's kind of been one of those heralded universities in college bass fishing, even though the university technically doesn't acknowledge it as a sport, right? Which is where my problem lies with the fact that the university has suspended the Auburn Bass team because they violated COVID restrictions. They're stating that in July 2020, February 2021, and March 2021, the Auburn Bass team participated in events, blah, 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 blah. They cannot represent the school. They can no longer freaking post for the school. They can't be on YouTube as the Auburn Bass Fishing team. They can't wear their jerseys. What in the hell? Now, I'm a Tennessee fan, so obviously I think Auburn sucks anyways, but what in the hell are you thinking if you're Auburn University? And just overall, this is what we're dealing with this COVID bullcrap, okay? Is overall, everybody's throwing different darts at it. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, we're going to do this. But you better not do this. But I'm going to do this. Well, this state does this, and this country does this. And yeah, but you better wear your mask, but I ain't going to wear my mask, but you're going to do this. Like, what are we doing? And your hat, like, you know, Auburn's basketball team can sweat all over somebody, you know, game in, game out. But hey, their coach is wearing a mask and the guys on the bench are wearing a mask, but they get to play that. You can have a lowered capacity crowd watching your team play basketball, but two dudes can't go stand in a bass boat in the most open environment, which was the sport that grew the most during COVID because people could get outside with their freaking families, and you're going to suspend them for this? If you don't know this story, go look it up. If you do know this story, go tag Auburn in something. Twitter, Facebook, and I'm not all about cancel culture. Y'all know that. But this is just complete and total insanity. Some of these kids pick to go to school based on where they can fish. Why in the hell would you stick around if your own university slaps your wrist because you violated COVID? Nah, listen, I don't know the details of what they violated, but I know I've been to a lot of bass tournaments in this environment that we're living in, and whether it be bass, FLW, ML, FLW, whatever, MPFL, they're all handling it differently, but they're all handling it with COVID in mind. This is the world we live in. But if you can tell me that a dude can play football, and that a drunk guy can sit in a stadium and watch football, and that is safer than two guys going and getting in a bass boat and fishing a bass derby together, you've lost your damn mind. So, you know, this sounds like somebody on the Auburn team pissed somebody's, you know, daughter off. That's what that sounds like. You boys been breaking up with the wrong girl down there on the plane. Somebody done ratted y'all out. But what the hell? I've seen a lot of people outspoken about this. Steve Kennedy, who is a big Auburn, Auburn guy all the way, wears an Auburn hat, says he's disgraced, embarrassed to wear the hat now. Like that's a statement, man. Steve doesn't he's kind of keeps to his own, man. And what a joke. So I had to open the show with that. Really, you know. Are the fraternities and sororities, and y'all, I'll get killed if there are any frat boys listening to this, sorority, but like, are they chilling out? I'm sure they are. I'm sure they ain't having no parties on the weekends. I'm sure y'all know about everything going on down there at Auburn, just like everybody at every university knows about everything. Like, I got a daughter in college. I know what goes on, right? And COVID precautions aren't exactly taken amongst that age group, no matter what they're involved in. So give me a freaking break, man. So Low Budget Live, and we've never really had the Loser of the Week award, but I think it goes to Auburn University. Gotta say, it goes to Auburn on that, and the Auburn fishing team. Sucks to be you guys. That's brutal. Go to the University of Tennessee. Football team, absolute trash. Basketball team, will break your heart. Baseball team's kicking ass and taking names. Fishing team, all of you go up there. We'll gladly take you at the University of Tennessee. Go Vols. Go Big Orange. That's what I got to say. Screw Auburn. Lord have mercy. What a deal, man. And I've seen a lot of Auburn fans super outspoken about this. So Just a damn shame, man. This is the world we live in now. And COVID, obviously, I've spoken about it a million times on here. Like, it's very serious, man. Like, it is. I get it. But to take this away from these kids, when they're, and it's not like they're, you know, they're getting scholarship money. It's not like the university's just out there just helping them do everything they do. Most of these guys do everything on their own. But hope to see Jordan and Matt Lee chime in on this. Get the word out to their followers, just because this is just bull crap, and whether anything will be changed or not. But like, to tell them they can't be on social media, tell them they can't be on, it's just insane. Hoping to have some of those guys on to talk about it. Don't know if they're allowed to or not. But really disappointing. Boo War Eagle. That's what I say to that. Boo, War Eagle. All right, moving on. Make some noise about that in the comments, though. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Auburn, just, you know, the Tiger. Nobody wants the Tiger to get COVID. Or the Eagle. They have two mascots. Not sure what the deal is with that anyways. Two mascots. Nobody knows what a War Eagle is. First of all, nobody knows what that is. And then you got a Tiger. So we're the Tigers, but we're the War Eagles. Tigers, but we're the War Eagles. And we just canceled bass fishing. War damn eagle. I don't know. Oh, me. Congratulations to Ott Defoe for winning yet another Bass Pro Tour event down at Sam Rayburn. Tough event. It was, I didn't get to watch, but too much going on. But checked out the weights, and it looked miserable, to be honest. But the Otter wins again. He seems to have figured out that format fairly well. The same dude seemed to figure it out all the time, though. That's what's crazy about it. But word on the street coming out of that event is there was a call with some of the anglers and some not so happy campers at the first event of BPT, paying all them entry fees. And I'd say you're going to see some changes. I think you're going to have to see some changes if at the end of year three there are going to be 80 anglers return to the Bass Pro Tour. That's the word on the street. And I'd say there's some changes coming with weight minimums and all kind of stuff from what I'm hearing out there. Yeah, interesting to say the least, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. I'm sure there'll be more changes and they'll figure it out. But my question is, if there are anglers to leave, which I figured there'd be some more guys, but I'm hearing like kind of like a mass exodus thing going down. There's a lot of guys upset that there are certain people getting MLF sponsors on their jerseys, kind of like FLW used to be. I think I said it was like FLW 2.0. Correct me if I'm wrong. But you know, you're seeing certain guys get those sponsor deals and others aren't. It's definitely a case of the have and have nots over there. Definitely. Similar to FLW, those team deals. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I was right. I don't know. Certainly an interesting situation over there, to say the least. And didn't get to watch it. But again, congrats to Ott on a win. I'm sure he's happy. He's pocketing that cash over there, making that money. Speaking of guys making money, and Ott has made money doing this. Aluminum boats are ruling pro fishing. Other than Ott, he didn't win in one, but he has won in one multiple times. The last four leading up to BPT, the last four major events have been won by guys in aluminum boats. Gussie, John Cox, John Sokup, and the latest, Mr. Billy Lowen. And we're seeing a shift. I get messages from y'all all the time about freaking aluminum boats, and everybody's into that idea, man. People are tired of paying, you know, a lot of money for bass boats. Some people can't, obviously, and it's just an awesome alternative, and they just keep getting better. And the people that started the trend, in my opinion, with the high performance bass boats, have been doing it for a very long time, are the guys from Express Boats. I reached out to Bill Lowen about doing an interview last week, trying to get my stuff done before I left to go to Smith Lake. And I got Billy. And as I was talking to him, he said, dude, I'm going to be at Express with this trophy. He did a plant tour. It's awesome. You'll hear the whole story. But originally, this LBL was not going to go like this at all. I had another deal recorded. Scratched it. scratched it. So this was recorded a few days ago, but I got to have Bill Lowen on, and just so happens the president of Express himself, Rory Herndon, joined us for the interview, and the VP of marketing, Clay Connor, were in on this. And it was just cool. It was cool because he was their first pro staffer. And he drove the damn trophy to him. I kind of get emotional. But because stories like this are cool. It's why we all fish. But to see Bill in this situation, he drove the freaking blue trophy out there to Express to see them. Every employee got to see it. He got to just to talk to everybody there. It's a really cool story. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to this one. We had a great time talking fishing, talking boats, talking family, and it is really special for me. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Billy Lowen, Clay Connor, and the man himself, Rory Herndon, live from not-so-live Hot Springs, Arkansas. Well, as promised, I've got some very, very special guests for this very special LBL. I told y'all I'm leaving for Smith Lake, so I'm recording a couple days early, and these guys have been gracious enough to join me from Express Boats. Of course, we got Bill Lowen, Elite Series champion. I bet. Does that feel good, Billy, just being introduced as that now? No, it's got to feel good, right?
It hasn't sunk in yet still, but yeah, it sounds pretty awesome here.
You know, and they can never take that one from you. That's like, that'll always be in front of Dollar Bill. And of course, we've got Rory Herndon and my man Clay Connor from Express Boats. Like, this is an honor for me right now. These guys make it all happen, and I think it's very important to have all three of these guys on because of this trend we're seeing that we talked about before they got on this theme in the pro fishing industry that I'm a part of now and grateful to be a part of, but this aluminum boat madness that's taken over. So we'll get into a lot of things, but thank you guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, Billy, I gotta throw it to you first and say you're not Dollar Bill anymore. You're $100,000 Bill Lowen. Like, Mercer's going to have trouble saying that, I think, but that's Dollar Bill's got to go away now.
You know, they brought that check out there and laid it in front of me, and I about all over the place. Yeah.
Well, I got to know, man, from these guys, Rory and Clay, Bill was your first official pro staffer, correct? Like, that's how this all went down, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And so, and Clay, you told me earlier this year, you said, we'll have a blue trophy walk through this door. It's going to happen this year. You told me this not long ago, and to see this happen, like, walk me through your emotions seeing your guy that you've backed, who was your first on the pro trail, walk in with a Bassmaster trophy.
You know, it was a pretty surreal experience because, you know, when we
don't cry again.
There was a lot of emotional moments that were involved. It's not only from our office here, but, you know, man, I heard from people throughout the industry that truly articulated. They threw up. They threw up with tears. They threw up. They threw up with just excitement. And that was one of the conversations I had with Bill. Like, you don't know how many people love you and care for you and wanted this so much. And, you know, we have been after this effort for a while, and we had someone that truly started this effort with us, and Bill came on, and you know, I use this phraseology as legitimized, and you know, he legitimized the effectiveness of this high performance boat on the Elite Series, and the only thing missing was truly to bring home a blue trophy. And it was something that I had a goal for the company, something that I had a goal, a vision that I had, that I wanted someone to put a blue trophy on that man's desk. And boy, it happened. And so we couldn't be happier.
Well, I remember when you got signed, Bill, I thought it was the most perfect mix of companies, because I knew you guys well. I knew Bill, knew his fishing style, knew his history. And I'm like, there's never been a marriage better than that, really, to kick off this professional bass fishing pro staff, quote, you know, relationship that you guys were going on this endeavor. But Rory, like for you, I saw you with John Sokup a couple weeks ago, and that was the first one. We walked in the inaugural NPFL championship trophy, like that's in an express. So to follow it up just almost 2 weeks later with the first ever Elite Series in an express, like what are you thinking right now?
It's just amazing. You know, we were intentional. We sat down and had conversations. Where do we want to go as a company? What do we want to do? What does our vision look like long-term with this high-performance bass boat? And I was a little reluctant to get into the whole pro circuit. We've always appealed to the guy that just likes to go out and enjoy his time in a boat and just really haven't pursued after that, you know, elite style series of competitive fishing. And whenever we got into it, we decided to be very intentional. We don't want just any guy that can go out and fish tournaments. We want a guy that represents our brand, like Dollar Bill Lowen. And like, it does not get more close to our culture than what he represents. He's a hunter, a fisherman, a family man. He checked so many boxes for us. It was a no-brainer. That was our intention. We were intentional of what's going to fit our culture, what's going to fit our vision of the brand going forward. And Bill checked all those boxes. And so just happy we could work out something. And it's emotional around here on fishing day. The meetings don't go quite as efficient as they do on other weeks. You know, everybody's in their office, you know, on their computer and always checking their phone and like, hey, Bill just caught another one, you know. It's fun and it's exciting and looking back, it was a great decision for us as a company and it's a good marriage.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, man. And Bill, I was so happy for you, but then I was so mad at you at the same time because I'm sitting here at my desk. And I was like, who's cutting onions, man? Like, this is literally, I found myself just like bawling my eyes out when your son, and there's the whole family, but your son was so unbelievably just proud of his dad. And being a guy with sons like you, Rory, and they love to fish and they love this sport. And seeing that moment, I was like, that's why we all do what we do, whether it's fishing, hunting, you know, whatever gets you up in the morning, right? That's to make our kids proud. Once you're a father, I think it changes things. And seeing that moment, I was like, that was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in the sport of pro fishing, man. So I was very happy for you, but I was like, come on, man. I got work to do. Come on, man. It's
amazing the impact that their family has on the fishing industry.
Absolutely.
The outpour of emotion we had towards us as a company, their family's made such a big impact in a positive way for the outdoor industry. I think it transcends the fishing industry, but everyone knowing the Scream Team and, you know, Dollar Bill's going to get up there and you're going to hear it. Like everyone.
Every time. Yeah.
Every time I'm going to go wild. And, you know, all those guys, you know, that are doing behind the scenes stuff, knows his family, knows his kids, have watched them grow up, and the impact they've made on the industry is just priceless.
And I don't think us as anglers know truly how much it affects them. You know, Jennifer and Nevaeh and Fisher, it's their lifestyle. That's all they know. And funny that Fisher on, you know, Monday night, I got the days all goofed up because of the change, but on Monday night, he says, Dad, have you ever done this good since I've been alive?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I guess it's really in my eyes, truly, to how much they're paying attention and how much it affects them. It was awesome.
Well, and Mercer always says that, you know, the tears come for all the things that people don't see, right? All the sacrifices and all the hours and all the near misses. I mean, you've had top five after top five. You are, when I had you on, I guess this fall, we talked and I was looking up your stats and I knew, right? Like I follow this sport so close and I know Bill Lowen is one of the most consistent guys out there. But then when I'm doing my actual research, I'm like, this guy never misses. Like he doesn't miss a lot like in his whole career, but to have that consistent career, but never have a blue trophy, was that eating at you at all? Was that something that you thought about going into events ever? Like, am I going to get one? Like, is it my time? Was it last week? Did that cross your mind?
you know, I think every one of us as anglers, I mean, we're going to think that, you know what I mean? And to me, I guess it just kind of put the icing on the cake or solidified my career as a professional angler. Yeah, I'm a professional angler, but I kind of didn't feel like without that blue trophy, you know what I mean? Just it legitimizes it and puts you on a map. Like you said, it's something that can never be taken away from you. And I think you think about that every time you put the boat in the water. And I'm going to be honest with you, Luke, I didn't have no idea that it was going to go down the way it went down. Okay. After the first day of the event, when I landed on the fish that I landed on and could run my pattern and run the style of fishing that I grew up doing on the Ohio River, I could hear that little voice in the back of my head saying, "You're saying there's a chance." You know what I mean? Don't screw it up. You're getting the right bites. If this goes down the way you, it can go down, you can fish in your comfort zone for 4 days. Yeah. You might have a shot. And thank God all the stars lined up. And, dude, I haven't really even had a chance to let this all sink in. You know, the very first night when we got back to the camper after the win, I had like 250 text messages on my phone, which I was blown away. I didn't even know I knew that many people. I made sure that I tried to answer every single one of those before I went to bed, because I felt like my fans deserved that for me to try to answer them back. And yesterday on my way here, it was a 6-hour drive, and I literally was on the phone from the time I left Pickwick Lake to the time I pulled into the campground here. I'm just blown away, man. I can't thank everybody, and I can't thank everyone for the support over the years and just the fans. It's been amazing. And to have that blue trophy, man, I can't put it into words, honestly. I can't do it.
I think
ask him about pulling into the campground. This is a cool story.
So we pulled into the campground last night. It's dark, and I'm trying to get the water hooked up and the sewer lines and the, you know what I mean? Just all
back to real life. Yeah, back to real life.
Back to reality. So I can see this group of people coming, and Jennifer's like, "You got people coming, right?" So here I am. I got a sewer hose in my hand, and they're like ecstatic. They're like, "Look, we don't want to bother you, but we follow the Elite Series, and we're them people right now." And I'm like, "What's up?" They're like, "Man, we've watched you your whole career. We just watched you win your first Elite. It is so cool. Is there any way that we can get a picture with you?" And I was like, "You know what? This is awesome." You know what? So we did the picture deal. And a little bit later, I went walking around the campground with a signed hat, trying to find a little guy that was there. And unfortunately, I couldn't find him. But I guess to me, I really don't know how many people are truly watching. You know what I mean? Because look, I just feel like I'm one of the guys. You know what I mean? I feel like I get up every day and put my pants on the same way everybody else does. And to truly, truly, finally realize how many people pay attention to what I'm doing, it's I'm so grateful and so thankful.
Dude, you say that, and I get exactly what you mean by that. But I always say this: when guys win any sport, whether it's football, basketball, professional fishing, whatever, when they're the good guys, and they're the guys that everybody pulls for, your social media feed will be nothing but the face of that good guy. And we see it in fishing a couple times a year. Like a guy that everybody pulls for, and man, Instagram and Facebook that night was nothing but Bill Lowen and Bill Lowen's family. And I think that is such a testament to the not only the angler you are, but the man you are and the family that you guys have. I was blown away by that, man. And you know, Bill, like, that doesn't happen for everybody, right? It doesn't. And so I think it's so special, man. And it's not going to be your last one by a long shot. But I got to say, though, I'm gonna put you on the spot here. As a Pickwick angler, Rory and I have been talking about fishing Pickwick. I'm going to try to get him and the boys over here at some point after you got, you know, they settle back down from you guys beating on them like y'all did. But, dude, I grew up on this river, and I was down in Florence on Monday during your first day of practice, and I water 6-7 feet low, and I was like, "Ugh, it's going to be tricky for these boys." Well, then it floods out, and I'm like, "Ugh, going to be even trickier for these boys. they're in trouble, you know. And I knew there would be 10, 20 guys that adjusted. But I have to say, and this has been local talk, and you know this everywhere you go, there's always locals, I would have done this or I would have done that. You blew every local's mind in North Alabama and Southern Tennessee with your ability to adapt to our conditions that we had and make it work for you and use a technique that, I mean, you're using your signature series jig. Like, holy cow, dude. Like, you made it work, but I watched all the live coverage and you adjusted every single day. Did you know those fish were, I mean, could you just tell it was changing that fast?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. My game plan was the fish out there behind, is it Crowder Island? Is that how you pronounce it?
Coger. Yeah. Coger Island.
Okay, mm-hmm. So my plan was the fish out there on the, in the grass in the high spots.
Yep.
Water was so low that them stumps out there were exposed and I could pitch a jig to the grass lines and to the isolated stumps and I could get bit out there. I wouldn't get a lot of bites, but they were the right bites, right?
Okay.
So my game plan was to be out there fishing. Well, when it flooded out, me being a river rat, I said, you know, the current has to push those fish to the sides, whether it be over there on the docks on the mainland side or on the trees on the island that were completely dry. So thank God the very first morning when I come around the back of that island and see all those trees with water that in practice were dry. Now on the shallow side, they got 2 foot. On the deep ends, they got 4 or 5. I thought, dude, there's no way they cannot be here. So my first tree I come to, I get a bite and I miss that fish. The second tree I come to, I catch a really good keeper. So now I got the confidence to, hey, let's roll with this for a minute. And then the other thing that keyed me in, there was a patch of reeds on that island. It was about as big as the boat. And first pitch to it, I get a 2.5 pound bite and I lose it. The next pitch to it, I get a 5 pound bite, I catch it. The third pitch to it, I get another really good keeper. And I don't remember if I had a limit at that point, but I said, you know what? I cannot believe they've already pulled to the reeds. So when I got done fishing that island, I went and ran some pockets that had some reeds in it and was fortunate enough to catch, you know, 2 5-pounders flipping reeds that day and give me 21 and a half, whatever I had. So the next 3 days was basically a repeat of that, except for on the third day, I was just void of those big giant bites because the river was starting to fall.
Right.
And me, you know, growing up on the Ohio River, knowing what those fish do when the river starts falling, you know, they always go to those areas that hold that little bit deeper water, you know, the docks and bluff swings and things like that. So, and Matt Heron included me in a little bit before the cutoff, you know, because in our deal, we can get help from other anglers that are in the tournament. Mm-hmm. Before the cuts made, he said, look, dude, if your stuff goes south, I've caught some fish on the bluffs. They've already transitioned to that. Well, I've had some fish I caught in practice on the bluffs, and I've literally had fished those fish, tried them for 3 days, and never had a bite on them. So the fourth day, I made that adjustment, ran to them, caught 2 key fish immediately, which gave me the confidence to settle down and just fish. And there was 2 bluffs, and there was 4 to 5 docks in between them. So I was going to go from this bluff to this bluff. I said, hell, we're here. We might as well fish the docks in between. I catch my 4th keeper off of the 1 dock, and then I catch an 8.5, dude. I mean, an 8.5, really? Come on.
Oh.
And then I go on to the next bluff, and I catch a couple more keepers, and it was just like, you know, I never truly thought I had an opportunity to win. I thought I needed 1 more 4-pound bite to make it happen. But I think that being raised where I was raised on the Ohio River, fishing in those conditions my whole life, I'm talking 40 years or however the hell long I've been fishing, give me the opportunity to be able to make the adjustments on the fly and never get spun out. You know what I mean? They say when it's your time to win, there's nothing you can do wrong. And this week was truly a testament to that statement.
Man, it was so impressive. Like I said, from a professional fishing standpoint, but having local knowledge down there, that's where I cut my teeth and watching you make those calls. I was like, man, a friend of mine that's a guide, he texted me after day 3 and he said, dude, he is literally making every move he needs to make. Cause we know the dam, right? We know what lives there. And it's like, it's changing up there. Those guys aren't adjusting. They're not adjusting. And then you look at Bill and you're making these little key moves. And I'm like, And I didn't think, man, I didn't think they would be able to even scare you on the final day, but Brock Mosley did. Shout out to Brock. He did scare. He scared it. Cause I actually text Clay. We caught the seven. You call it you sandbagger, first of all, but you called it a seven. Yeah. I got to call you out on that. It's okay.
This is your fault because y'all were putting something in the water up there. They were making those fish short and fat.
Oh, they're this bigger. Know? Yeah, I know.
Now look, first day of the tournament, I kept 15 and a quarter inch bats, right? I dropped him on my scale and he weighs 3 pounds. Okay.
So I'm unreal. Like,
scale's broke. No way, right? But he's like this big and this tall.
Yep.
And I got four of those fish in my bag, but in my mind, I'm thinking they're two and a half pounders.
You know right. Yeah.
If it's an 8 pounder, I got 18 pounds. I'm going to freaking lose by 2 ounces, right? You know? So. It's all your all's fault for whatever you're putting in the water.
Well, it's your fault for giving everybody at Express Boats and everybody keeping up with it a heart attack. Because I'm going back and looking at the footage. I'm going, yeah, I think it's more than seven. He's got it. I think it's more than seven. He's got it. I'm texting Clay. He's like, it's not over yet. I'm like, I think he's got it, man. And like, we're going back and forth. So when you pulled it out of the bag, I'm like, all right, yeah, I think that's the one. Well, dude, Bill, are you surprised? And you and I have had a lot of conversations about the boat, about Express. Before I made the change, I leaned on you like, all right, tell me about this thing. I've talked to you about it. Well, you took me for my first test ride ever about 4 years ago at the dealer meeting. You drove me around in an X21 and we talked out there on the water about everything you loved about the boat. And it's all, you know, came true. Like I love everything about my boat, but are you surprised at this 4 major tournaments, 4 weeks in a row, all won out of an aluminum boat? Like, how crazy is this trend right now? I know the Express guys expected it, right? Like, they're like, I see Clay's like, up.
Oh, yeah.
We know. But I'm just saying.
If I could take my shirt off right now and show you my back where they've been whooping me with a whip, make sure I got some fish, I would, but it probably wouldn't be good for your show.
Okay. You know? Well, you never know. We got some weird listeners.
I think the trend is truly amazing. And I think that it just opened up everybody's eyes that, you know, I mean, because for years and years and years, there was this misconception that an aluminum boat can't perform to this level. You know,
yeah. A stigma even around it. Yeah.
If you're impressed with the high performance aluminum platform we got with the Hyperlift hull, it's, I mean, I told you this, and I'll tell everybody this. If you get in that boat and go for a ride and have a blindfold on, you can't tell that you're in a
million boat. Percent.
There's no way. So to be able to, I mean, honestly, we're changing the face of bass fishing or bass boats with what's going on. And I think it's just going to continue to get better and better and better.
I couldn't agree more. And I've got to say, for me, when I made the switch, I've never interacted with people about a boat like I have with the Express. People have more genuine, sincere interest in that boat, whether it's the sea deck, whether it's the fact they're like, is that a 250 on an aluminum boat? Like they're blown away. But I get so much interest in so many people. Hey man, that's going to be my next boat. Or I just ordered one of those. Or, I mean, it's really surprised me. But Bill, I got to ask you and put you on the spot in front of the bosses. Does it drive you crazy when people say, nice 10 rig, Bill? Because they do me that way and I want to fight.
Right. Exactly.
I get angry. I'm like, it's not a 10 rig. Shut up.
I get guys walking up to me and tapping on
it. You know, yeah. Like, what are you doing?
With a fiberglass top or what is this thing? You know, I think it's so cool that we're getting so much attention. You know what I mean? If you look out on the elites and the aluminum boats that are there, you know, and our team, as far as that goes, I mean, look, we've got Jason Christie's in an Express. We got Dale Hightower, Harvey Horn, Caleb Summerall. You know what I mean? Dude, we're making huge waves. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's fun to be a part of it. And it's fun to see just across the board and make people realize. And you've been doing that longer than any of us, but make them realize, look, dude, you can take, it doesn't matter if it's the St. John's River or Lake St. Clair, You can fish out of this boat anywhere. It's not a conditional boat. It's not the, it's not your backup boat that you take if you want to go up or I'll bet you can go shallow. Yeah. And also I can go beat your butt in 40 feet of water if I need to, because it's a 21 foot boat with a 96 inch beam. So I think you've done an incredible job of that and educating people. But yeah, I had to ask you about that because I get tired of nice 10 rig, man. I'm like, dude, it's not a 13 foot John boat in the back of my truck. What are you talking about? Not saying there's anything wrong with those, because I love those too, but I'm just saying it's not. It, you know, it'll make you cry running down the lake when it's cold. Trust me.
Well, that's the thing that's cool. Like you said, you can do anything you want in that boat that you could have done in a fiberglass boat, shallow, offshore, whatever. But what it does is it opens up so much more for you, especially for a guy like me that's a shallow water angler. That, I mean, dude, I'd go as far as I could go in my fiberglass boat. Well, now I go that far and more. You know what I mean?
Now you get scared.
Yeah, man, exactly. That's what I say all the time. I said, I know I'm going to get stuck somewhere. Yep. I'm not going to make it back to weigh in. But, I mean, it lets me, as a shallow water angler, fish however the heck I want, whether that be up in 6 inches of water or out there in 40 foot of water. And it lets me fish comfortable knowing that I don't have to worry about destroying it.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't tell you guys what I hit in mine a couple of weeks ago, but if I would have been in a fiberglass boat, that's where we would have been. But the Express took it like a champ. We'll talk about that later off the air.
They will get stuck. I mean, they're just lighter to push off when you get stuck.
Right? Yeah, this wasn't as much of a getting stuck situation as it was just really hitting something really hard that I shouldn't have hit. Yeah. But it's fine. We're good. I had the boys in the boat, and they were like, Dad, is that okay? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that happens all the time, and I'm losing my crap behind the scenes. And they had no idea. We were actually on Pickwick before you guys were there and the water was high. I mean, I nailed one. But we're good. We're all good here, buddy. Y'all calm down. You got your life jackets on. We're fine.
I need a project. We're all good.
we're fine. Guys, I can't thank y'all enough for joining me and doing this. I told you it's the first elite trophy that's ever been on LBL. So there it is. It's the first elite trophy at Express, from a dang Express nonetheless. And I'm going to make a prediction, Bill, and you're probably going to hate me for saying this. Looking at this schedule this year, that's not going to be the only one of those you get. Because I feel like keeping up with this sport, momentum is a dangerous, dangerous thing. And, dude, you might get another one next month, dude. I don't think that's going to be the last one this year.
Don't you start.
I'm just saying, look, when I'm kind of a prophet on here sometimes, okay? I had John Cox on. I said, John, you're going to win. Last year, John Cox, you're going to win the first term of the year. He went to the FLW at Rayburn, won it. I said he was going to do that this year. Guess what? He did it. So I'm just saying there's a little LBL luck. I've had some pretty good predictions. Brian knew. I'm just saying I want a cut of the checks. All I'm saying, that's really what I'm getting at. That's what I want.
You didn't have to wait this long to make some kind of prediction like that. I mean, if you truly knew that,
if you cared.
Hey, yeah, if you cared, you would have said, dude, I need you on the show.
We did it last fall after Santee. I need to go review the footage. I feel like I said, hey, buddy, you're going to win next year. Maybe I didn't, but I'll go look at the footage.
If you did, I'll be back next week.
Yeah. Okay, I will. So, we'll get you back on next week if I said it. Yeah. I said that. Rory, before we go, talk about just the history of Express for the folks at home. I try to do you guys justice, and I feel like I butcher it weekly. But since 1966, you guys have been building aluminum boats. But just talk about, like, the family history and just kind of how the brand started. I think that's important for people to know.
Yeah, it's really cool. My grandfather had a sporting goods store in Natchez, Mississippi. He was right there off the banks of the Mississippi River and sold sporting good equipment, chainsaws, whatever outdoor supplies you needed. And he just saw a need for a stronger boat. He saw a need. They're putting in all that infrastructure in southern Louisiana, the bridges. And you know, a lot of those guys were working out of boats and just tearing them up left and right. And so he had a vision of a stronger boat that was more durable. And his motto is definitely the best way is not always the easiest. And so he designed the first all-welded boat. And that was our foundation as a company, was building, utility style boats. And so that was through the 60s. Dad came on in 79. That'd be his father-in-law, my mom's dad. And so Dad came on in 79 and just took over the you know, what he was doing, but added the recreation side into the hunting and fishing segments. And through all that, they were, I mean, lived it, breathed it. Like we'd be sitting around the dinner table in the '80s and like, I bet we could do this to the hull. I bet we could tweak this. It was,
that's awesome.
Fun growing up in that environment. But whenever they came out with the hyperlift hull, it really was the catapult that put us on the map in the recreation business and made an affordable bass boat that you could perform like a high end expensive bass boat with lower horsepower. And our first little 50 inch wide boat, H51, H50, with like a little 90 on it. I mean, you could fish anywhere you wanted to go, run 40 miles an hour and have an affordable boat that truly could perform with anything in the market. And so that's just kind of been our story. Just let's continue to make it better. How do we make it stronger? How do we make it faster? And it's our team. That's, we talk about it every day. It doesn't matter what it is. Like as soon as Bill wins, like still, how do we make it better? How do we make it faster? How do we make it stronger?
And it's
technology.
It's built a lot on innovation as well. And Rory kind of glossed over some really important factors about the company itself. First one, longitudinal ribs. First one to use expandable foam to not only meet but exceed the Coast Guard standards. First to pioneer the padded hull in aluminum boat. I mean, there's so many innovations that have come out of this very quiet, humble company, humble family. That has put us in a position today to truly be a leader on the highest level competitive fishing. And Bill brought home something that legitimized all of our efforts.
Yeah.
So
absolutely,
pretty exciting day.
No doubt. And it won't be the last. We got a lot of guys out there kicking up mud and expresses this year on all trails. And, I'm just trying to, you know, if you guys could just maybe wheel me a victory in the Smith Lake Open next week, I would gladly bring you an open trophy in there next week. Would love nothing more than that, actually. I'm going to get a chance to fish real shallow in it because Smith Lake's basically spilling over the top of the dam right now. So we got plenty of water in North Alabama. Man, I can't thank you guys enough. This has been unbelievable. Clay said he had a surprise for me, and there it was. Rory, a trophy, and Bill Owen, and Clay himself right there.
And Clay, man.
He's the man behind the scenes. All y'all watching this, I've had Clay on before, but you guys just have to understand how hard this man works and how he breathes this brand and putting this to the forefront where guys like Bill are out there on the water winning Elite Series out of Express Boats. It's very cool. They make it happen. And one thing I want to add before we leave is I've said this before on the show, but I've never worked with a company that truly cares about what professional fishermen think. And I don't mean any disrespect to any other boat manufacturer. They listen, but you guys are, it's like open forum. Hey man, if you think this is good, let us know. If you think this sucks, let us know. We want to know. We want to know right now. To say if you have, and my problem is I just can't find anything I think you need to change, but like not too much, but it's just like this open forum. I got an email from Clay last week. Hey, here are the guys. Boom, boom, boom. Reach out to them. If you have anything like we're working on next year, like that's awesome, man. That is a very cool thing to be a part of. And I think Bill would echo that. That's an unbelievable thing to be.
I think you should bring the camera in here and sit in on one of those meetings. Because the meeting room in there has holes in the wall where we've been throwing stuff. No, we're not going to do that. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
No, we're not. It's, you know, this is my fourth year running the Express. And from when I started to where we are now, it's amazing. And, you know, my very first time ever here meeting with Rory, he made me go out and get my boat and critique his lifelong family boat. You know what I'm saying? Here I am. I'm scared to death.
You're like, it's great. There's nothing wrong with it.
I want to know what you don't like. And if you had the opportunity to change anything, what would you do? And I'm like,
nothing.
My boat handles really well, you know? But no.
I don't know what to do with my hands right now.
Yeah, exactly. They listened and they made the changes and Dude, I'm so excited for the future of this company to see.
Yeah, man.
To see what is next. I mean, it's going to be amazing to sit and watch and go chase some blue trophies.
That's right. Heck yeah, dude.
Hey, look, a quick story. Today, Bill, when he pulled in, he got to pull in to the factory with his boat and the trophy on the front.
Yeah, man.
80 employees got to surround the boat and all the craftsmen who built the boat, have these conversations with us, get to see the end product with an end customer for us, which is rare around here. You know, we're always in just that middle stage of production and don't get to spend a lot of time with the end user. And for all those people to get their hands on that boat and on the trophy and get to take pictures of Bill Lowe, and it was an exciting day.
Special, man. Special that you guys put that much into it, you know, and want to make it special for Bill and the employees. Like you said, the people on the front lines, right? They're out there doing. They don't even realize a lot of times if they're not fishermen. Where all? I mean, dude, he takes this thing, like I said, from St. Clair to the St. John's River through all kind of conditions. They don't realize that a lot of times. So that's awesome, man. Had to be special for everybody.
They have no idea. You know what I mean? They're just, you know, maybe to them it's just this is my job. You know what I mean? I'm
supposed
to see that, whatever. But for me to be able to stand out there on that microphone and truly thank everybody that has something to do with that boat, from the guy that simply puts screws in there, or maybe, you know, the sea deck or installs a troll motor, whatever that may be, to be able to personally thank them for what they've done, and, you know, just to thank the whole Express family for letting me become part of it. Dude, it's been awesome.
That's so cool, man.
Luke, what was really cool is that the boat builder that built not only your boat, but also Bill's boat,
yeah,
is a female. And,
awesome.
And she's built every one of Bill's boats, and Bill personally called her out of the crowd. And, you know, you talking about someone that was affirmed and someone that truly had an extra skip in her step was such an unbelievably cool moment. And she
That's
walked up
awesome.
To me afterwards, and she was like, "That's the coolest thing that's ever happened in my life. Can I get a picture with you?" And I was like, "Absolutely."
So, she's a true craftsman. She is.
That's all. That's so cool, man. That is just, it's just unbelievable, all the way around, man. You guys, thank y'all 1,000,000%. Thanks to Express, and congratulations to 100. I'm gonna start changing. $100,000 bill, Lowen.
You
got to
quit.
No, I will never stop that. I can't stop, also. I'm like Miley Cyrus, buddy. That's not happening.
Dude, I'm like two dimes on
nickel. Yeah, you know, $100,000 bill loan. It sounds so much better. I've already texted Mercer to stop with the dollar bill crap. We're going 100,000. We're platinum now, baby. All right, boys. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. Good seeing you.
Good seeing y'all. Well, that's it. I hope y'all enjoyed that, man. It was, I really appreciated them taking time out of their day, obviously running a major boat manufacturing facility is not a small order. So Rory, you know, being able to join us for that was awesome to me, meant a lot. I consider him a friend. He's a great guy. It's a great family business out there. I say it all the time. They're just really good people. So it was awesome. It's awesome getting to hear their perspective, him and Clay, on what it means to them to have one of their guys grab up a trophy for the first time since they've started sponsoring people. The team continues to grow, and I'm very proud to be a part of that. But I want to say just a huge congratulations to Bill. As I said, he's one of the good guys, one of the great guys. And you don't see as many people giving shout-outs on social media as they did for Bill if you're not one of the good ones, if you're not one of the good ones that everybody pulls for each and every week. So Such a cool story. The funniest thing for me, and I forgot to mention this to Bill, was my 10-year-old rider was watching Bass Live during that event, and he's like the biggest Bill Lowen fan ever now. And it was cool. He's like, "He's got a boat like you, Dad." And he's like, "Where's Bill?" Like, we were down practicing at Smithy. He goes, "Is Bill going to be in this tournament?" And I got to get Bill to call Ryder and give him a shout-out. FaceTime with Ryder D, because Ryder's big Bill Lowen fan now. He likes $100,000 Bill Lowen. But just a very humble dude who is dangerous with the rod and reel. everybody knew this was coming. It was just a matter of time. And, it just lined up for him. Flooded conditions. He knows that well. He talks about his Ohio River experience. But it's just cool. It's cool to see. And it definitely will not be Bill Lowen's last. And it won't be the last blue trophy that walks through those doors there in Hot Springs. That's for damn sure. Especially with the team they're assembling on the Elite Series. And pretty freaking awesome, to say the least. But, of course, we recorded that before they canceled Smith Lake, so we talked about Smith there a little bit. But thanks to those guys for doing that. Really meant a lot. And thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for listening every single week to Low Budget Life. I sincerely appreciate it. There are a lot of you that show up either on YouTube, show up on iTunes, Spotify, what have you, to listen each and every week, and it means a lot to me. I love doing this. It is absolutely something that I am grateful to get to do each and every week. I always have time for it, always make time for it, even in a very, very busy, busy life. And I certainly have one of those. I'm grateful for it, but it gets kind of crazy. Sometimes some of you comment every now and then, man, I don't know how you sleep. Well, it's definitely trying at times, but I'm always going to make sure one of these get done because I enjoy it so much. I feel like we're having a conversation weekly. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Going to take you out today with a little bit of Biloxi Blues, like I always do. Want to remind you, always hug your mama, hug your daddy, and I will see y'all next week on some LBL. Make sure to check out, I got lots of videos up on the channel right now. Got the Lake Record video coming up this week. I've got a boat walkthrough video coming out this week. Got some sight fishing fixing to come up at home. Going to be doing some sight fishing videos. So get ready, lots of content coming, and I appreciate each and every one of you, and I will see y'all next time.
Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. And I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.